Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
It's time to talk to a good friend of the show. We like to have him on for whatever reason, but now we actually do have a reason. Find out exactly what the weather is going to be like in Lambeau this weekend, the Bay Area's weatherman, Bill Martin. Billy, what's going on?
What's up, boys?
Hey.
How are you?
Hey, I'm good, Larry, Rob. I got more questions for you than you probably have for me, truthfully. Because, okay, here's the deal. We know the temperature at Lambeau is going to be, the game time is probably going to be 17 degrees, something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, and at the end of the game, it's going to be about, 8 degrees. You guys still there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yep.
We got you.
We're following.
You guys are just listening. It's just rare that you guys listen.
I'm taking notes.
You have no idea how right you are.
Okay. So without a doubt, right? It's going to be. It's cold. The ball itself. Do they do anything with the ball when it's 15 degrees or 8 degrees out? Do they? We do humidifiers or humidors up in Colorado.
But only the Patriots.
Keep that ball. Do they keep it warm or anything?
No, they don't have ball warmers. If it were easy, if it were raining or snowing, yes, we are actually. If it were raining, they would try to keep them dry, with like a towel, or if it just got too much, they have like a, basically like a little, like a book bag that they would put the balls in. But as far as like keeping them warm, That's something they don't bother with at all. Everybody got to play with the same brick hard football.
Okay, so here's the thing. Okay, so they put the ball down, they kick it off, grab it, return. That ball goes to the first down marker. That same ball, right? And then they play four more downs or eight,
no? The balls that are used in a kicking game are different than the balls that are used in the non kicking game. So, like, you can even see it on television. When you watch on television, when they kick off, you'll see what looks like a brand new shiny football, because it is. But then when it gets to the line of scrimmage and they're playing regular football, you'll see the ball is a lot darker, because those balls have been kind of conditioned and massaged, so they're more, I guess, pliable and easy to throw.
So they massage their balls.
Yes, someone does that for the quarterbacks, because they're the quarterbacks.
Thank you, Bill. Tom, where are you?
It's a great soundbite we have now forever, Bill. Thank you.
I know.
I don't want to talk because I want that soundbite to be clean.
You teed it up. I go, Tom's going to jump on this. God.
Tom's a veteran radio man. He knows when
he's
not to
smarter
jump.
Than that.
He's listening.
Exactly. Oh, believe me, we'll have more opportunities to jump on that when we replay it.
So they massage their balls.
And replay it.
Yeah, that's the only reason I got to it. It's because you guys were too scared to jump on it. Dang.
No. We're waiting for you. Birds, we know you too well, Bill.
Okay. Yeah. So with that in mind, so they got a different. Okay. So what they're doing, what you're telling me is they're taking they're taking the ball and they're massaging it, obviously, and they're trying to keep that leather supple and loose and everything, right?
Yes.
Supple.
Yes. That is exactly what they do. Yeah, but they do it, they do it behind the scenes, because no one needs to see those balls being rubbed and massaged.
There you go.
It's quite a segment already. So we're really rolling here.
I want to go supple, right?
Massaging balls.
Yeah. All right in the name of fair play.
Okay. Yeah. So here's the deal. It's going to be cold as hell. It's going to be seven degrees in the fourth quarter, third quarter, 8 degrees. The balls are going to have there's a first component of balls, right? The air inside it's going to compress, right? Because it's colder.
Right.
Things that are cold come together. Things that are warm expand. So the ball it's going to get softer. It should get softer. The actual because of the air, right? But the outside of the ball is going to get harder because of the cold, right? The texture of those balls will get
You can't help
shrivel?
Yourself,
will they
can
shrivel?
You?
Will the cold make him shrivel?
You can say football.
Football.
Oh, great. Here we go.
The football will be.
Why don't you just go right to the glory hole and just move on?
It gets really hard, and so that it's hard. You don't have when you go to get the exit velocity off that guy's foot. You're not going to have that bounce. You're not going to go as far. So, with that said, a football on a cold day like this is going to go just based on air density alone. Forget that it's cold as heck. The air density alone, when the air is cold, it sinks, right? It sinks. Yeah. Air is warm, it rises. And when air rises, it expands and becomes, there's less molecules of air, if you will, for something to fly through. So you're going to get more distance on a hot day. You've all probably seen this, especially on a really hot day. And an example of that is in Phoenix, when they have 120 degree days, they have trouble, the airplanes have trouble taking off because the air is so thin, right? Because they need a certain amount of air flowing over the wing. And because it's so warm, right? But when it's cold, you have a different deal. Same thing with football and baseball, anything else like that. So when the air is cold, it sinks. So you're going to lose about 2.5 feet on a 50-yard field goal. Okay? So about 2.5 feet. But with the ball being not as elastic, the football not being not as elastic, you're going to lose probably another 2 feet, 2.5 feet. So the whole game, the kicking game is going to be bounced or messed up by about five feet. Now, I know it doesn't sound like much.
That's a couple yards. Yeah.
Well, and then the over-under on the game is like, because that's what I was thinking. I was looking, because I know Tommy was going to probably ask that. And I was like, well, the over-under is only at 47.5 points. And I'm like, I would think it'd be lower, not just because of the kicking game, but also the passing game is going to be impacted, right? You get a ball. And I know these guys, they're professionals, but the ball's going to not go as far. It's not going to, you know, you have to put more behind it. So there's going to be inaccuracies in the passing, I would suspect. But
let's work on my baseball information before we get to football, okay? You still failed to deliver that to me.
Well, I did. So we did do, you know, my weather applied metrics thing that we do is we're in Soldier Field right now. We got that Monday night game with the Bears. Remember about 4 weeks ago, I guess it was?
Yeah.
That Monday night game. And it turned out to be no weather, so we could have quantified better using our metrics and stuff. But so what I just say? I think the over-under is high.
You going to do it for the Warriors game anytime soon?
Stop it. Their balls are a lot bigger.
Yes.
Than what you have.
Yes, they are. Yes.
Please. Just please.
Hey, before just we get to supple, the, by the way.
Before we get to the goofy stuff. Well, I was going to say before we get to the goofy stuff, before we continue on with the goofy stuff. What are we looking at here? Just same old for a little while?
Yeah, we're cruising with what we got, which was I saw some upper 60s today, like 66, 67, 68.
So did I.
Next couple of days stay in the upper 60s, and then we're waiting on rain, but we're, you know, rainfall percents of average right now are about 140, 150% in a lot of places, maybe 120 in the lowest. So we can withstand. We've been withstanding. We've already had 10 or 12 days of dry. Yeah. Probably going to see another 10 days of dry. Believe it or not, at least whatever the end, the first rain looks like it's the end of January, like the last day of January, first couple of days of February. So we're just lucky as all heck that we had so much snow and rain prior.
So okay, during a TV, when you're doing your TV hits, can you have the conversation you had in the first segment here on TV?
No.
Yeah.
That's why I love the radio. The radio is. Although, you know what's weird? I think you could, like, you guys, if you guys pop off on the radio and say something that's inappropriate, not mean or anything like that, but just sort of like a bad word, nothing much happens, right? Nothing happens. In the old days, it'd be a story and you'd be gone. But now isn't that sort of the medium now? Doesn't everybody, like, with podcasts and radio and everything, isn't it all just blurring together?
Well, we have safeguards. I mean, we can, you know, we can do the whole filth, floor, and filth route. I mean, we can step up to the edge, but we can't. We know the line we can't cross, and we know the words, but we have safeguards in place you know, we got the old handy dump button because every now and again, you know, something will, you know, a word will escape. And if the system works, which it normally does, and it's all really contingent on Tim, whether he hears it or whether he's in a good mood and he likes us or if he wants us to get fired, he hits the button and no, you know, no one's the wiser.
The Bill Martin segments are on red alert, though. Red alert during the Bill Martin segment.
Yeah, I know. He's got his hand over the button.
Yeah, hovering right over it, exactly. Like, like he's on Family Feud, exactly.
Yeah, Family Feud. Well, here's the deal. Have you ever noticed, like, because you guys, radio and TV guys are all the same. I don't know if newspaper guys are like this, and women too. But in the old days especially, really, off the air, and probably for you guys too, the really foulest mouth people in the planet Earth. Like, just swear every other word, sweary word, right? And then they go on TV and you are radio, whatever, right? Have you found that to be the case? Because I was blown away when I started this business, how sweary, like when the lights were off, how sweary some certain people could be.
And yeah, well, it is like you're wearing a verbal corset for 4 hours a day, and then when you take it off, you just, you know, everything just busts out. But I also have two children under the age of 10, so I'm not necessarily the best judge of that.
I like the verbal corset thing, Rod.
Oh, thank you.
That's strong.
It's better than being overly sweary.
When I unzip it all comes out. It's
Bill, can I ask you a question about our rain? Because you hit on our rain before. In the Bay Area, if you said 1, 2, 3, what are the rainiest months generally? The number 1, 2, and 3 rainiest months of the year?
Probably January. Because
my sense of it would be more springtime. Almost than fall.
March can be amazing, you know, but just if you look climatologically, and I think it's January, February, January, February, and March, or maybe late December, middle December to middle March, maybe something like that. It's in that those three months, late December into middle of March, I think is probably the rainiest months, just on statistically. But as we just experienced December, you know, and parts of November were historic rainfalls. And as if you look at a satellite map, which I know you guys probably aren't going to go do this, but if you were to, you would see, the jet stream that's going to the north is full of atmospheric river moisture. And that is really, it's been directed away from us for 10 or 12 days, but up there, they're just getting deluged. If that thing had been pointing at us for the last 2 weeks, we'd be doing mudslide and flooding stories. So it's kind of luck of the draw on a lot of this stuff, especially now with, you know, things a little different, things changing a little bit, atmosphere getting a little warmer.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
Yeah.
How were the waves during that last storm?
Oh, it's really good. Surf's been really, really, really good. The big wave guys, they had some days at Mavericks. They had a really good day at Mavericks about 3 weeks ago. And we haven't seen a ton of giant surf, but we've seen a ton. We've had some big days, and then we've had a lot of 5 to 7 foot day. So it's been pretty good, actually. What was wild was that tsunami.
Yeah, yeah,
I was going to say, that was scary.
Well, you know what's weird about that is, the thing, first thing that concerned me was, there wasn't a lot of notice on that. Not that we're in the eye of this thing, but when I woke up, I was like, what? And it had already, the earthquake, or the volcanic eruption was basically 15 hours before we even knew anything, which just blew me away. And I think it's because the volcano produced a seismic event, but it was like a 5.4 or something. So the tsunami alert system didn't kick in. So I think what happened was they finally, you know, people in Tonga were able to, obviously they got there. I don't even know if they got a warning, to tell you the truth. I don't think we really knew there was going to be a tsunami because it was a volcano, and it took a while for people to figure it out. And I think the thing that we should all think about is that volcano, yeah, it's big, but they get much bigger than that. And that thing, the whole Pacific Rim was impacted. Japan could have been, right? I mean, we could go to Santa Cruz Harbor, there was waves coming in. That was a very small event. But you imagine if you had like a super volcano erupt underwater, or heck, if you had a meteorite or a small asteroid or a small piece of a comet or something enter the Pacific. I don't know how the warning system works, because I'm pretty sure it triggers off of an earthquake. So it's sort of that was sort of an eye-opener for me. And it's one of those things where I had that feeling like I had after, you know, that feeling like, dude, this could have been devastating. Because it was, you know, even in Tonga, it wasn't that huge of a wave, fortunately. But that thing was everywhere from Seattle to Alaska to Japan to Taiwan to Peru, New Zealand. Everybody would have been hit on those coastlines. Well, a tsunami could be, hell, they could be 100 feet high pretty easy.
Yeah.
Pretty. So I was kind of woke me up. I was like, ooh, that's scary.
Here's something that'll shake you to your core. San Francisco has a tsunami warning system. You know, Ocean Beach and you know, the southwest portion of the city is obviously susceptible to tsunamis. It's under repair.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah. When I heard that, I was like, wow, that's okay. I should probably go to a church at some point, because I think that's going to be my only way to be saved if a tsunami shows up. Come on.
Well, one of the things that I worry about is off of Mendocino, there's a place called the Triple Point. I think it's called the Mendocino Triple Point. It's where the Pacific Plate meets the North American Plate, meets another plate. So these plates are all, there's a three points of touching for these plates of, you know, tectonic plates. And when that's in a position, if that goes, and it has, they always have earthquakes up there. It's really seismic. Whenever you hear a 5.4, or we had one the other day, it's usually from that spot. But that area has the potential to produce a tsunami, pretty sure. I'm almost positive. And so if that's the case, we got no warning, because tsunami travels about 500 miles an hour. Right, 500 miles. You're not getting a whole lot of warning on that one. So the warning system's not going to do much of anything. And again, I not to be scary, but you go, oh man, stuff can happen. Man, we're just flying around on this planet without a lid. You know, we're just kind of.
Yeah, hey, Bill, if there was a tsunami, how far inland? Like, would you be like? You're obviously. Let's say you're cooked if you're at Ocean Beach. You're cooked if you're on Sunset Boulevard. Like, where would you go to a high point in the city, or would you have to literally leave San Francisco if there was a legitimate big-time tsunami that was coming this way?
Knob Hill.
You know what you do with tsunamis? What I always do is I always think about, like, if you've ever been to Santa Barbara, there's a mission there in Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
It's way up the hill. It's way up high.
Yeah, it's upstate. You know why it's up there? Because they've had tsunamis. Over the thousands and thousands of years, that's why, you know, missions are built. It's like Mission Dolores was built where it was built.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that would have been a good, but they're very, that usually where the old Indian tribe, the camps were, or the missions is what I look at. So you could think that you can have a 100-foot high tsunami. I don't think it's that difficult. That one in Indonesia was probably, I don't even know what that was. Some of the waves were 20 foot, 15, 18 foot, something like that. It's really a matter of the size of the thing that comes in, that comes into the atmosphere, whether if it's a volcano or if it's a rock from space or anything. I don't want to get religious here, but the whole Noah thing, you know, that just smells like an asteroid hitting, you know, one of the ocean basins and just, get the animals. You probably didn't have a lot of time to get the animals, but yeah, dude, there's a great flood in all.
What the hell are you talking about?
My man,
the ark and the animals. And you just took a wicked left turn.
Happy 420, seriously.
I'm not even sure what the hell just happened,
Bill.
There.
I'm with you.
Goddamn animals. Hey, do you think, tsunami, do you think the guys and girls that ride Mavericks, who could ride a tsunami?
The best wave of tsunami I've ever seen was that one in Indonesia coming in from the guy in the hotel, and they're way up in the hotel. And I've watched those videos 100 times, but this wave's coming in, looks like it's about 30 or 40 feet breaking in a bay. You could never really ride one because typically it's just a wall of white water. But this one got in, started in deep water and then shallowed out. But the idea that you know, that they're it's the way. Well, let me back up. In Hilo, in I think 55, they had a big tsunami there, and I can't remember where the earthquake was. It might have been Peru, I think. What happened was there was the water all recedes. So as the tsunami comes in, a big one, and people ran out. They'd never seen the tides low. They're gathering shellfish, and then they just get looked that one up. And there's some actual pictures of that, not video, obviously. But and then this giant wave comes in. The wave recedes because it's building out short. It needs more water to pull. You know, as it comes in, so the wave's pulling water off the beach. So my thought is, if I'm ever out at the beach or anywhere, and it goes out pretty not real fast, but fast, like in a few minutes, the water is gone, you know, pretty. And you saw examples of that the other day. I saw a video out of Bolinas where the water didn't go, you know, it was that, but maybe a foot less water in the lagoon. You could tell. And then this, you know, 1 foot wave comes in. But if you see water receding, it's a good time to get out. So, and
how badass would that be, though? How badass would that be if you rode a tsunami like to Dublin? How cool would that be?
Seriously.
Wow.
That'd be awesome.
That would be incredible. Are you kidding me? End up at that little mall out there?
You know what they do ride, Tom, is they'll ride the glaciers. You know how glaciers calve?
Yes.
You've seen this before. But like, so they calve, and pretty big hunks will fall off. And there's a couple guys that take jet skis. You'll see that. It's on YouTube somewhere. I've seen a few of these. And they'll just wait for these things to calve, and they'll just this big quarter mile by quarter mile chunk will just kind of fall into the water and create this big, not giant wave, but it's pretty good size. And this guy, you'll see guys surfing them. So that's kind of, you know, that's the only thing I've ever seen like that.
All right, before we get out of here, are you working Saturday night? You gonna be grinding the 49er Packer game?
I'm gonna be watching it, and I'm gonna ask you. So the over under is 47. It's gonna be cold. We know the balls are gonna be flying, have 5 feet less game on them because of the ball texture and then the pressure within the ball.
Yes.
Would you bet the over-under on that?
I don't care to, but if I did, I'd bet the over in this game.
You would?
Yes.
Okay. I want to ask you why, but I heard music, so I don't know if I can ask
you. Yeah, I don't think cold factors. Usually cold doesn't. You know, the only thing that factors into totals is wind. Wind's a big deal. These guys can deal with cold. And you know, just because there's a couple extra yards on a field goal, they just won't kick them that far. They'll go for it on fourth down. So I don't think it's going to be a huge deal. So think about that, Bill.
I think you run the ball more. And I think if you run the ball more, the score's ultimately less. But I don't know. I don't.
Hey, go ahead. Give it a try. Go ahead. See what happens.
Call your bookie. Call your bookie.
Never mind.
Hey, Billy, have a good weekend. All right, Billy. Enjoy the game, and we will talk to you again soon.
All right, Rod, Larry. See you guys. See
Love you, brother.
Great job, yeah, Bill.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.